Good afternoon, everyone. This is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm taking over for Pastor Marcia today, who is in Indiana attending the graduation of two of her grandsons. So we are very happy she can participate in that. There's also, I believe today, she said, a big old family reunion. So I'm sure that's exciting for her. I hope her weather's good. Ours is just simply hot and muggy, so welcome to summer in Florida. I'm joined here today in the studio with Nan Watson from Beacon and here in Clearwater, Florida. And hey, Nan, you here?
Hi.
Hey, Nan.
How are you?
I'm good. And we will be joined in a little while by one of our newest radio team members, Cindy Henderson, all the way from Idaho. Oh, Cindy, are you on? Welcome. Welcome.
Hello.
What is it? What, 1 o'clock out there? Is that what time it is?
It is indeed, yes.
Okay. I was wondering about that. So good to have you on. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So again, we are from Beacon of Hope Ministries. This is our Sunday radio show, Living the Good Life. This is our 382nd show, I believe. We're going to reach our 600th show in September. So that's a tremendous thing. Looking forward to that. So we're going to have a big party that day. But we have been on the air now for years and years and years, every day. Or every day, every Sunday, about the same time. So we are very glad that you all could join us. And I'm really praying today because Pastor's been doing a series on our heavenly home and, you know, what all that is about. So we're kind of coming to the end of that, which is kind of sad, actually. We talked this morning in church about God's kind of his plan for the ages. I made it sound like a drama, you know. It was kind of like a play, like a big old drama. And it was really kind of cool. And then today I thought, well, you know, let's just talk about something that's a lot of people have been talking about. Let's see if we can put some clarity on the subject of the second coming of Jesus. So that's kind of where we're going to start. We'll see what happens with that. But I also want to let our listeners know, if you are in the Clearwater area, if you're visiting or whatever, please feel free to join us every Sunday. We meet right now at Pastor's House in Palm Harbor. And you can email either Pastor, which is just pastor@bohmglobal.com, or you can email me, which is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. And we can give you directions, information. We meet at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. And it's just a good time of prayer and praise and getting into the Word. So really looking forward to it. And then we also have a radio show on Thursday. So that is our Go Yard show. And Nan, can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's a life coaching show. Dr. Angel Falzoni and Pastor Marsh's other name, Mama Mac, host that. It is obviously live, of course. And they touch on a lot of different subjects throughout the years that they've been doing this. And no subject holds bar on. I mean, they will forge ahead and touch issues sometimes that people are surprised that they would touch, but it's the need is there, and that's why they touch on those various topics. So you can go through the website and listen to them later, listen to it live. If you listen to it live, you can actually call in if a question or a comment. I've done that on numerous occasions, and it's just a great program.
Yes, it is. And again, it's a life coaching show, so it's a little different emphasis from what we do here on Sundays, but it is a great show. Some other things that we do at Beacon, once a month we go to Palm Garden, which is a nursing home. We do a nursing home ministry there. that's always a great time. Nan and I are always ones who show up, so, and pastors. So it's a good time to minister to the residents there in the nursing home. So I want to pray before we get started, and then we'll have our first song, which is a good one. But I just want to pray first. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we submit this radio show into your hands. Father, we just ask that you would indeed release your Holy Spirit. Father, just move among us. Give us all the words that you want us to say. And Father, I pray that you would just reach out to the hearts of our listeners. Father, that they would hear your word and respond to it. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I thought I'd get to show off to a rocking start, which a song called Open Up the Heavens by Vertical Church Band. Mm-hmm.
Waiting for the
Oh, praise God. I love that song by Vertical Church Band. I mean, that's kind of our wish today, that truly the heavens would open up and that we would be changed. I mean, that's what we prayed about this morning. You know, we talked about that this morning. In fact, that was part of a prophetic word that came forth, was that God wants to change us all from the inside out, because he has a specific plan for each one of us. And that's a wonderful thing, that specific plan. I mean, Cindy, have you ever felt kind of that unique calling on your life? You know, where you know God's got something for you to do, and he's, you know, he called you to do some things in order to fulfill that.
Sure. I think any of us who've been in the faith for a long time and been under good teaching, we feel that, we understand that. I'm going to be honest, I'm not quite sure what mine is. I tell people I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it has been weighing on me a lot lately. And I've been praying specifically that, Lord, please show me exactly what it is. Lead me to it. And I think in the meantime, all you can do is stay faithful, keep asking, and keep learning.
Exactly. And it's funny, I kind of talked a little bit about it this morning in church. I've been reading the book of Jeremiah, and, you know, I've read that book for, I don't know, 40 or more years now since I got saved. And this time it was just different. I don't quite know how to explain it, but I was feeling, I think, what Jeremiah was feeling. And I was, I think, kind of feeling what God was feeling, or what God felt when he would give Jeremiah those words. And I felt such a burning in my spirit. You know, like, okay, we don't have much time left. Let's get on with this. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, it was kind of that same thing. I don't know, Nan, you any? I know what God's called you to do, so.
Hi, Cindy. I didn't get to say hi to you earlier.
Hey, Nan.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay.
Good. Well, one thing, and I think it's what you're making reference to, is the poems that he cranks out. It's incredible what he does with those, and it's like dictation from God, from his mouth to my ears to my fingers, and that is definitely one thing that God has me doing. He's let me know there's going to be something else that I'm going to be doing in the right time, and that's exciting to know, you know, what that is. That's exciting to know that in his time it will come about.
Amen. And I think it's interesting that we're all kind of feeling this, because there's, well, it's just, I've been a Christian now for, it'll be 45 years this October. Wow. I got saved at the height of the Jesus freak movement. I was and still am a Jesus freak, and I'm proud of it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'll have to get that song by the Newsboys called Jesus Freak. Or no, DC Talk. DC Talk. Jesus Freak.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, and I had an expectancy when I first got saved about Jesus coming back. You know, I was ready for it, you know, wanted to be ready for it, wanted to tell everybody about it. As time went on, things happened, that sort of went away. But just lately, I've really felt that, and I'm, you know, I'm certainly not making any timeline predictions. I would never do that. But I just sense an urgency that I haven't felt in a long time about that. So that's why I kind of wanted to, you know, we've been talking about heaven, and, you know, some of us are going to see heaven when Jesus comes back. Some of us, you know, may have already passed on. And, you know, Paul talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because apparently the Thessalonians were just a bunch of people like me that just love to talk about Bible prophecy. So they were all, you know, they had questions, because in 1 Thessalonians, they had a question, well, what happens to the people that have already died? If Jesus comes back now, what happens to the people that have already died? And, of course, in his famous passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, well, the living will not precede the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up with him in the clouds. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. So that answered one of their questions. But apparently in between the time that 1 Thessalonians and 2 was written, and 2 Thessalonians was written, some, how can I describe him, some wiseacre, got into that church and told people that Jesus had already come back. You know, and there are some religious groups that kind of teach that. They teach kind of a warpy version of it, but they do teach that. But apparently some people had, you know, taught that, that Jesus had already come back. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him," so obviously that's talking about the second coming, "that you be not quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." So Paul was saying, look, you know, somebody gives a message, a prophetic message, or some sort of word that they like, a word of knowledge or something, or a letter. Paul says, even if you get a letter from us, obviously I think it would be a forgery, but he says, look, don't you believe it? You know, he says, don't you believe it? And I think it's important here because sometimes people will, and you know, praise God, the folks that are on just ahead of us were talking about this too, about, you know, having a distinct prophetic word, and they're just wonderful. So if you get a chance, tune in to the show that's on right before us. But they were talking about kind of the same thing, about there being, you know, false prophets. And that's one of the things Jesus talked about, was that many false prophets would arise. And, you know, so Paul's saying, look, don't be disturbed. I'm going to give you some facts here. But sometimes, you know, we hear a prophetic word and we think, ooh, that's just, you know, really cool. And yet, how do we judge prophecies? I'll throw this out in the air for either one of you. How do we judge a prophecy? If somebody gets up and gives a prophecy, how do we judge it? I mean, what are the criteria?
It's going to be an encouraging word.
Okay. It can't, yeah.
Right.
And?
Because I think it always has to go back to Scripture.
Thank you. Yes.
It drive you back to Scripture. I think it also will have a resonance with you. It will resonate with the Spirit of God in you, even if it's about something that you need to change.
Right.
I think that once you really stop and think about it, pray about it, that you will know yes or no. I've been given words before from what I believe are well-meaning people, Christian people. Happened to me just the other day. We were standing at a meeting, and all of a sudden this friend looks at me and said, "I have a word for you." And usually her words are very encouraging. They're, you know, very, very uplifting. This one was, "Stop doing this immediately." And I had this huge sense of sadness that hit me about it. And so I prayed about it, talked to several other really good spirit-filled Christian friends, and it didn't resonate with me. It didn't, you know, what she was saying was not something that I was feeling. So I think that's another thing, is that God will speak to you as well. You can't just take a word that somebody throws at you and take it as fact without God speaking that same thing into your heart.
Right, and that's why we need to be cautious, especially of personal prophecy.
Right.
You know, because I've had many words prophesied over me, some of which I thought could never happen, which have happened, and
yeah.
Some of which, well, I mean, I know I've told it, I may have told this before, went to a church in Indiana, and this lady who had a legitimate gift of prophecy called and you know, got up and prophesied that there was somebody there who was, and we'll just say it because we might as well say it, there's somebody there who's gay, and if they don't change their ways, they're going to die. Well, I knew she was talking about me, okay? I knew it was me. So I go up, and I get prayed for. Now, my wife at that time had injured her hand. This is all just God's wonderful sense of humor. And she had a scab on her hand at the time. Well, I go up and get prayed for. I don't think anything happened. But I go back, and my wife's hand was healed while I was up there getting prayer. So that's really cool. But I come to find out later, my pastor had told her all about my issues. So it wasn't really, I don't believe it was a prophecy from God.
It wasn't a word of knowledge.
It was not a word of knowledge. I mean, she did not, you know, it just didn't come of the Spirit. It came from my pastor at the time.
Right.
But I had other words prophesied over me that I would lead praises and things like that. And given what happened in my life, I figured that that's just not going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they did. So,
yes,
you know,
did.
God's faithful. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, which means building up, and exhortation, which means, okay, these are some things you need to change, and consolation. So it's, you know, it's those, you know, those are the three things that the prophecies and prophets are supposed to speak. They're supposed to build up, to exhort, which is not, notice there's a exhort, to exhort someone is not to condemn them.
Right.
An exhortation is always a change with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're going to condemn somebody, it's just, okay, you're going to go to hell and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then, of course, consolation. You know, we need, sometimes we just need to hear a comforting word from God, and that's what that's about. So, you know, Paul says, or a message or a letter, that particular church, which ended up kind of becoming a cult back in Indiana, they added to the scriptures. They added, and some of you will know what I'm talking about, they added some of the books of the apostolic fathers, the generation right after the apostles, right after John, and they took some of those books to be as valid as scripture, which they're not. Plainly, they were never a part of scripture, but they did that. So they added, you know, they added these things to scripture. So you have to be careful. But then Paul, in starting in verse 3, he says, this is what's going to happen. So, and we're going to get there in just a second, but I do want to have the song by Casting Crowns, Glorious Day.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. distance far away. Rising heat justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree. Took the nails for me. 'Cause living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day.
That song. Nan, you have something for us, I believe.
Yes, I do. My son gave his life for you so that freedom you could have within. He engulfs you with his love and forgives you of your sin. He loves you so very much. Cannot that you now see? He is right there for you, desiring for you to be set free. So, accept his gift of eternal life. It is right here for you to receive. Of this wonderful gift I speak of, within your heart, will you believe?
Amen. Amen. And that's so important because that's the whole point of this. That's why we do the show, is to get the word out there so that you will come to know Jesus. I mean, you know, Jesus prayed in the garden and he said that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom you have sent. That's the whole reason we're here, is so that you can know Jesus. Because to know him, to be saved by him, apart from the fact, and I'll be just to be blunt, apart from the fact that you don't go to hell because of that, you end up going to heaven, but you have, you know, you have eternal life, and that's just not life everlasting, but that's abundant life. That's a life worth living. I mean, I have to say, if it hadn't been for Jesus, I don't know what I would have done. There were some pretty bleak years that I went through, and I honestly don't think I'd be here. I'm not saying I would have committed suicide. I just think by my actions, things may have been set in motion at that time. But praise God, they weren't. You know, because God had his hand on me, and he has his hand on all of us. You know, we can try and stray. I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe there's somebody out there that needs to hear this. We can try and stray. You can try and run. You can be a Jonah, just like Nan was at one time. Yeah, Nan just raised her eyebrows at that. You can try to run, and yet he's going to meet you at every turn. He's going to be there, and he's going to bring you back. In my case, I tried to run because I thought he promised me something that didn't happen. Well, I know now that was my issue, not God's. But I ran, and yet all that time, he was there drawing me back little by little, bringing me back home. You know, and praise God for that. Nan?
Well, I want to share my Jonah story, if I may. Cindy, I think, was around for part of it down here, if I recall correctly. But, I came to Beacon in kind of a wayward state, you know, and it was God ordained that I come there, but it was just...
Come seven times and we'll see. I remember that.
Kind of a wayward state, and just having been hurt by a pastor at a church and the whole bit that happens many times to people. And when that kind of stuff happens, many times they just want to run away. And that's what I was doing, was running. And, I mean, it became so apparent that I was running that everyone started calling me Joe, and not in any kind of negative way, it became kind of just fun. They would call me Jonah, you know.
It was my nickname
was Jonah, you know. And then, it was interesting in that running, like Pastor Jim just said, you run, but he's there. He's everywhere. So everywhere you run, he's there. He's, you know, so it's, you can't get away from him. Can't get away from his spirit drawing you and just loving on you and drawing you to come back into relationship with him. And that's kind of what happened with me. And I did come back, obviously, and they don't call me Jonah anymore.
No, we don't. But, you know, and it makes me think of Psalm 139. You know, it says, you have been, starting in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And your right hand will lay hold of me. You know, so we have a God. We serve a God who doesn't let go. You know, he just doesn't let go. We can certainly, you know, we can certainly walk away, but he's going to be following us. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be in front of us, trying to bring us back. You know, I don't know, Cindy, if you've ever had anything like that happen in your life where God just, you know, you ran off, but God brought you back?
I don't think I ever ran off purposely. praise God, I've never purposely just, that's it, I'm done, I'm leaving, you know. But I'm sure I know for a fact I have wandered before trying to find the way.
Right.
One of my favorite verses is the one that talks about how we are carved into the palm of his hand.
I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. That's in
right.
Isaiah.
And, you know, we're not talking about drawn on. We're not even talking about tattooed on. We are talking about literally carved. Engraving is you carve the design into whatever. We are carved into the palm of his hand. he can't, we can't crawl off of those palms. We can't run away.
Mm-hmm.
Those palms will never drop us because we are permanently there. And maybe it's frustrating when you're trying to run, you know, but that's the fact. But in the end, when you do come back and you realize that he's been there all along, it's very uplifting, very comforting, and you're very thankful for it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it is. That's just the kind of God we serve. I mean, a God who doesn't want to let any of us go, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. I mean, that's a wonderful thing that God loves us so much. He doesn't want to let us go. And if there's somebody out there who needs to hear that, then hear it. Because you may be running from God because of something you've done, because of who you think you are. Just know, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't make distinctions. Well, forgive, you know, his blood didn't cover one sin without covering another. His blood didn't wash away one sin and yet leave another. It washed all of our sins away. Scripture says, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This is out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Big, little sins you think you just are too big for God to forgive? No. No, that sacrifice was for every sin you have ever and will ever, I might add, commit. Because none of us are going to go through now to the end of our lives without sinning, unfortunately. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, wouldn't that be nice? But that's just not going to happen. So,
he said, whosoever.
Amen. Whosoever. So it doesn't matter who you are, who you think you are. God loves you and wants you to come to know him. Certainly before you pass from this world, whether it's a natural death or whether Jesus comes back, he wants you to be with him. He, you know, he gave his life. There's that old song, you know, he gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. And that's so very true. Well, praise God. That was kind of, I'm not sure. When something like that happens, I'm sure that's for somebody out there who is either listening now or will be listening. So
that's right.
So praise God. And again, this is also, I think, for somebody, you know, you may be thinking, well, we got time. We got time before mm-hmm. Jesus comes back. No, that clock's been ticking for 70 years. So we need to be thinking on that. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, let nobody in any way deceive you. For it, the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, will not come until the apostasy, which literally means the falling away, comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So Paul clearly says Jesus is not coming back until these two things, at least these two things, happen. That the falling away happens, the great apostasy. And some people feel that is already happening. I am one of those who believes that's probably going on now, because what it means is falling away from the faith. And so many churches, in their rush to be inclusive, notice how I'm kind of choosing my words very carefully at this point. Many churches, in their rush to be inclusive, throw the baby out with the doctrinal bathwater. And, you know, in their rush to include everyone, they water down the Bible, say that it's not really God's word. We can kind of pick and choose what we want. And all right, we're just going to get it out there. I'm gay, in case our listeners didn't know. I'm also Christian, and I'm a Christian first. So I hope we don't lose half our listening audience over that. But I have to say this, that I'm also as evangelical as Pat Robertson. I've taken the test on Facebook. I'm as evangelical as Pat Robertson with that one exception. I'm, you know, we're like odd ducks, those of us on this radio team. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Fully the Word of God. Every scripture from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, beginning to end, no exceptions. It is all the Word of God. You know, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, fully man and fully God. That he died for us. I'm not sure why we're doing this, Dan, but we're doing it. You know, and that he rose physically from the dead and that he is physically coming back. Okay, so that sets me squarely in that evangelical group. But I've noticed that so many times churches who want to be inclusive, to include everyone, you know, well, we got to do this. You know, we got to let's cut out this little part of the Bible, or let's cut out this part, or, you know, Jesus really didn't rise from the dead, or he wasn't really born of a virgin. You know, and that's the apostasy, because once that starts happening, a great slippage occurs. You know, we used to hear of the domino theory in regards to, okay, this is going way back, maybe before either of you can remember, but the Vietnam War, that started because of the domino theory. If we don't keep Vietnam, if, you know, we have to keep Vietnam from becoming communist, South Vietnam, or the whole of Southeast Asia will become communist. Okay, in the long run, we know that wasn't true. But that was a domino theory. If one falls, then they will all fall, just like a row of dominoes. But I do see that with so many churches today. I won't name names, but the one I grew up in is kind of leading that charge. And churches have split over it. And usually it centers around a couple of specific things. But I mean, you know, I know the Lutherans have split. There's almost been a split in the Methodist Church. The Episcopal Church has split. So, you know, some that want to hold on to Bible doctrines, you know, feel like they're not welcome anymore. And that's too bad, but that's the apostasy. The other thing, and this goes back to my reading in Jeremiah, and I know I'm preaching, but...
Preach, Pastor Jim.
Thank you. The other thing with the apostasy is we were created to worship. Okay? It was St. Augustine, and I know Connie picked this up, but St. Augustine said, we have this God-shaped hole, which we try and fill with all sorts of stuff. We were created to worship. If we don't worship God, we'll worship something, whether it be money, fame, whatever. We will worship something somewhere along the way. The ancients worshiped false gods, and we're going to get to that little bit of it here in a few minutes. But, you know, they worshiped false gods. They had to worship something. And what did the Israelites do? We talked about it this morning. After King David, after King Solomon, who also backslid and worshiped all these false gods, Israel, by and large, all they had were bad kings. Okay? The 10 northern tribes, which split off, they did have only bad kings. The kingdom of Judah had a few good ones here and there. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, Josiah, Hezekiah, you know, the good ones. Everybody else is just rotten, and they were worshiping idols. And God finally said, enough, enough. And that's what it's talking about here. I mean, we see New Age religions. We see false religions. I have a friend who professes, and a former coworker, and his friend, still friends on Facebook, but he professes to be atheist. You know, and he's always putting up all this Gaia, you know, you know, mother goddess stuff, and all this like druid stuff. It's like, so even though you're an atheist, you got to worship something, you know? So, and okay, so it's just, and it, actually this is a good segue into our next song, which is Come Alive or Dry Bones by Lauren Daigle. It's a song about, you remember the prophecy in Isaiah where he said, look, God said, look at this valley of dry bones. And he said, prophesy to those dry bones. And eventually those dry bones became an army. And that's what I'm feeling we need to do over the church, well, over ourselves, over the people that we go to church with, over the church in general, is pray that these dry bones come alive.
We have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory.
Song, and that's, you know, that's another kind of a prophetic song there, but just calling out to those dry bones to come alive, come alive. And, you know, like I said before, we just need to really be praying that for the church as a whole, that these dry bones would come alive. I mean, the dry bones in ourselves first and foremost, and then the dry bones, you know, in the church, you know, because right now we're not really an army, but we need, you know, God has called us to be an army. So we just need to prophesy, you know. He's prophesied first to the bones, hear the word of the Lord. and those bones came together joint to joint. They got their sinews, they got covered in flesh, but they were still just laying there. Mm-hmm. And God said, prophesy to the winds, or the breath, or the spirit. It all means the same thing. You know, in Hebrew, it's all one word. And, you know, it says they were all, Ezekiel prophesied to the winds, and the winds came upon them. The breath of life came into them. They stood up, Scripture says, an exceedingly great army. And that's what we need. That's what we need to be prophetically praying over ourselves and over the church. Ooh, this sure is not going the way I wanted it to, but it sure feels good. It sure feels good.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Is it?
My favorite story. And I was fortunate enough, I was blessed to see Lauren Daigle in concert with Hillsong United.
So,
yes. So, okay. I love that song.
I just had to put a plug in here. I am so excited. Danny Gokey is coming to St. Pete. Danny Gokey, yes. And Torrin Wells. I'm going. I don't care what I got to do. I am going to go to that concert.
Amen.
You know, it's like they don't get, you know, sometimes they'll come over to Tampa. I have been known to drive to the Strawberry Festival in Plant City to see Third Day. So, but yeah, you know.
Hey, what's wrong with Tampa?
It's a long way for me. Okay?
Hey, I live in Tampa and drive to church,
do.
You know?
I know you do. I got lost in Tampa, so it kind of, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
I know the way to Amalie Arena, though.
Okay, there you go. That's what counts.
That's true. So, you know, Paul says, you know, the apostasy will come first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. That would be the Antichrist. And I just want to clear something up here. In Greek, we all think that means someone against Christ. The preposition anti, A-N-T-I, in Greek can also mean in the place of. So it's not just against Christ. It's something in the place of the Messiah. And there have been, I believe, through history, a number of people who, either willingly or unwillingly, maybe they just didn't know, were like the Antichrist. I think Haman in the book of Esther, you know, what was his main goal? He wanted to destroy every last Jew in the Persian kingdom. And then we move up a little bit to Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the ruler of the Seleucid Empire, the one under whom the Maccabees started their rebellion. You know, Judas Maccabee and all that, the books of Maccabees. He proclaimed himself, and in Daniel, he was the one, the little horn that Daniel prophesied about in Daniel chapter 8. I mean, Antiochus went into the temple and sacrificed a pig. In the Holy of Holies. Now, he, and, you know, Epiphanes means God manifest. That's, I mean, he thought he was God manifest. So, you know, he was, but he died, praise God. But his whole thing was to destroy the Jews, too. He wanted to take away their Jewishness, their peculiar Jewishness. Obviously, I mean, he ordered that none of them could eat pork. Or no, he made them eat pork. Forbid circumcision, you know, because he just wanted to destroy the Jewish race. We move forward then about 165 more years. We have Herod the Great. You know what he tried to do when he found out the Messiah had been born? Killed every male child in Bethlehem 2 years and under. Like he thought he could stop God's plan. Okay. And of course, obviously in more recent times, Adolf Hitler. I honestly think Adolf Hitler could have been the Antichrist had he succeeded. But he, praise God, did not. But that's, you know, especially, I mean, we all know about Adolf Hitler. That's kind of what the Antichrist is going to be like. Okay? That kind of a tyrant. He's called the man of lawlessness. He will see himself as above the law even the laws that he himself would make. But he's also, I love this, the son of destruction. So I look at that two ways. He's of someone who causes destruction, obviously, but he's also going to be destroyed. Okay, that's, I like that name because it kind of includes a little bit of both in there. But then in verse 4 it says, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So I know most people interpret this to mean that there will be a third temple built in Jerusalem on the site of the first two temples, Solomon's temple and then Herod's temple. And that the Antichrist will actually take his seat in the Holy of Holies and proclaim himself to be God. Others see this as being the temple as being the church. Know ye not, ye are the temple. And, you know, God's building us up into a spiritual temple. Peter says that. So that he will set himself up as God in the church. Either way, the thing is, he's still setting himself up to be God. Okay? Here's a man proclaiming himself to be God. And when we're back, because we'll be going to station ID here in just a minute, but when we're back in the second hour, I want to talk about how could somebody get away with that? I mean, after all, we're civilized people. You know, how could someone proclaim himself to be God and not be hauled off to the loony farm? You know, obviously that's, you know, oftentimes a mark of insanity. So why wouldn't this person be taken to a mental health center, you know, for proclaiming himself to be God? But we're gonna find out why in just actually a few minutes here. But I just want to, again, remind everybody that you're listening to Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're here live every Sunday, 2 hours long, so we're just about ready to wrap up the first hour. Can't believe it's already gone so quickly.
I know.
It's amazing to me. So we have this radio ministry. We also have Go Yard on Thursday nights. Both shows are on WTAN. And you'll find out all of the station IDs here in just a minute. But I just want to thank everybody. We're about ready to go into our second hour.
You're listening to the TAN Talk Radio Network.